the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And it's Monday, December, what, 7th?
It's the 7th. I'm acutely aware of the days of the week right now.
Oh, why is that?
My birthday is on Wednesday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm excited.
For your birthday, what are the Houston Rockets going to get for you?
You know what? I think what the Rockets are going to get for me is a beleaguered head coach and probably a cool John Wall jersey. I'm into that.
Yeah. Wait, is their head coach already beleaguered? Isn't he new?
He is new, but he's beleaguered because who wants to deal with this crap?
Oh, yeah.
Who wants to have their franchise player pull what he's pulling?
100% guaranteed to just not have a successful first year in the league as a coach. Ugh,
what a bummer.
And probably will earn some respect if he can just manage to survive the season.
Yes. And yeah, for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, we've got our good friend, James Harden. You know, big fan of James Harden on the podcast here. Chris loves the way that James Harden, what do you love the way that he does? Nothing.
Well, you know what's funny is I actually thought, well, maybe I'll start rooting for James Harden this year since Chris Paul is no longer there from last year. Westbrook is no longer there from this bubble season. And of course, they didn't help me root for them by trading for John Wall.
No, not one bit.
But I was a little bit like, well, maybe, you know, maybe I'll be okay with him winning a ring or whatever, right? And okay. Then they got John Wall. And now it seems like he might not even be on the team. I know he requested a trade, or he's been pushing for a trade for a while.
Yes.
And when they traded for John Wall, I honestly thought, and maybe I was just naive, I thought it was like, oh, we've reached out and James would be happy playing with John Wall. And
that's the thing that they said. They said that the two of them had reached out, that it was a, hey, we're good, don't worry about it kind of a situation.
Right. So I didn't just make that up in my mind.
No, that was not a patented Chris Grace basketball dream.
So that made me think, like, okay, he's not going to get to go to Brooklyn to play with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, but now they're bringing in this other guy. Even though I thought last year they always talked about how Harden and Westbrook are both from, you know, I don't know exactly where. They live near the airport growing up here in L.A.
So Westbrook was from like Inglewood, and Harden was from Artesia, like by Knott's Berry Farm.
Near each other, right?
They are. They're decently near each other.
Harden was actually born in the Knott's Berry Farm.
Yes. Right where you get the turkey legs.
Oh, do they have turkey legs there?
Oh, they have turkey legs that are better than the ones at Disneyland. Disneyland's turkey legs suck.
Oh,
real hard compared to Knott's Berry Farm's turkey legs.
Whoa!
Here's the thing. These
are the hot takes we're talking about.
Oh, I mean, I've got some mad hot takes about Disney. I don't like Disneyland. I think Disneyland is actively not good. And Knott's Berry Farm, primo shit. And Knott's Berry Farm. Knott's Berry Farm is like, you know, because Disneyland's all corporate and BS. Knott's Berry Farm is sort of corporate and sort of BS. Because they've got their own like weird Knott's Berry Farm shit about how they, you know, grew jam and they built their own berry. Like Knott's, that dude was a scientist. He crossed berries until he came up with his own berry. He invented the boysenberry.
I didn't know. Is his name Jim Boysen or something?
No, he just invented the name boysenberry. The Knott's family, the Knott's Berry Farm. So, yeah. Anyways, and they're scary shit.
Thinking about going there. I've been thinking about going there. Oh, it's scary shit. I've been thinking about going there for they have an equivalent like food festival thing, and I heard it's quite good.
Of course, I'm probably
not going anywhere right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, I thought that James Harden was sort of – they were kind of locking him down because this trade that they made – so the Rockets traded Russell Westbrook for John Wall. And yes. Did they got back also a draft pick, but it's like not really a great. It seems to be a trade that no one likes for any side whatsoever.
So I don't think that's entirely true. One, I think that the Wizards fans are sad about it because they love John Wall. Right? That's what they're sad about. They're not sad about the actual fit on the team. I think that they think that Russell Westbrook is going to be a good fit for them. I've heard really positive things early out of Wizards camp. Russell seems happy. The team seems happy. You know, I mean, it's all spin, but I think that might be the kind of spin we're looking for.
And Russell Westbrook is a talented enough basketball player that they should push for the playoffs. And the Eastern is not a super strong conference. And he can fill up the stat lines. I mean, he's a good basketball player. Like, you know, for a team that it's funny. I think Russell Westbrook is like a player that you would get annoyed with if you want your team to win a championship or has been annoyed.
Yeah, if you're, way.
But if you're a team that just wants to reliably make the playoffs, I think he's a very good player.
Yeah. If you're just a Wizards fan who has been beaten down after years and years and years of dunderheaded moves by the front office and terrible draft pick trades. And, you know, I think that you can look at Russell Westbrook and say, you know what? We only had to trade one heavily protected draft pick to get him. And, you know, the corpse of what we used to call John Wall.
Yeah. John Wall hasn't played for 2 years. So they were really giving up nothing on the court in terms of what the product they've been able to put onto the court for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
So now the Rockets, to me, I'm like, it's surprising to me that, I don't know. I don't know what my feeling about this is, but like, okay, let's set aside all of the issues I have with the Houston Rockets. Cause I think that they're, they have like really from the last day of the bubble to today, they have gone through a team transformation that's like horrific. But there's a part of me also, and like I never thought that team would win a ring, right? Or that, but they were contending. To me, they just got Westbrook, so like give it another year, you know? Like people were complaining,
tell them to
suck it up and you play another season.
And you say that they were never going to win a ring, but they were often your choice to win it all. You know,
yes.
But was that your heart or was that your mind?
That was just my mind thinking that at some point, the variance of the way that they put their teams together would produce a run of 16 games in a row, or not in a row, but in 16 out of in a playoff season, maybe 16 in a row. But you know what I mean? Like, I just thought you roll the dice in this high risk strategy eventually. There's a good chance it'll work eventually. But also I just feel like it was a short season, a weird season. We're immediately starting another season. Like just try again. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm with you, but, I think when somebody says they want out, you try to get whatever you can for them. Right.
And yeah, I mean,
this is something else where, you know, maybe they rehab John Wall into being worth, trading for value. I don't know. It feels like the beginning of a rebuild to me, and that's just that's a bummer to me.
I think that one thing that's different about the equation now is when the Rockets used to make questionable moves, there was the cult of Daryl Morey that was always like, he's going to make it work out. Even though, I mean, really, they never really made any of these moves work out. Like,
you know,
the last 5 years of the Rockets, like, they made some questionable decisions.
Okay, here's my thought. What does it mean to work out, right? Is the only valuable output a championship? Because I feel like they took and maximized James Harden's years as a star, and they tried as much as they could to put something around him that both complemented him, his style of play, and winning. And I feel like they were really successful at that. They were a really, really good team. And, you know, it's not their fault they ran up into the cap aided Warriors, who got to sign Kevin Durant to a max deal the year the cap spiked. And, you know, it's not their fault that, you know, they ran into the Lakers, who have an amazing duo that they were not able to get up and over. I don't know.
You're talking about Taylor Horton Tucker and Alex Caruso.
Oh, yeah, the big two. I mean, you know, the only minutes Taylor Horton Tucker got in the playoffs were against the Rockets. So that counts. And he's going to be good this year is what the what camp says. You know, it's just the truth.
they re-signed Quinn Cook. They're ready to go.
Ready to roll.
Okay, this is what I mean by making it work out. The Rockets have been sort of throwing everything at the wall every season in a way that it doesn't feel like they ever created a cohesive core concept or team idea, except let's get the most out of James Harden we can. Let's throw things around James Harden. And they have been like getting rid of Capella. Like they're every off season, there's moves that are like, how does this work out? And there's been a lot of like, well, Daryl knows what he's doing. And there have been times where I've just been like, just run it back, like run back the same team. Like you were close this time, like run it back again. And it feels like trying to min max every little angle in a way that you give so much, you know, even though I was skeptical about a lot of their moves, and in my opinion, they never created like a consistent title contending presence. To me, like seriously contend for a title two seasons in a row would be a start. Right. And, but it was always tempered by, well, Daryl Morey Morey Ball, he must know what he's doing, right? And now I don't think they have any of that benefit of a doubt with their current organization.
You are correct. They do not have the benefit of the doubt. But I think that the Rockets, as they were composed, are a success in my mind. Like, I don't think that just because they didn't win the championship makes them not a success. I do think that I don't know what they're doing now, and I don't know how they're doing it or why they're doing it or what's happening. They're a mess. They're an absolute mess from a front office standpoint. They're an absolute mess from a team construction standpoint. I don't trust them to play well. I don't trust them to make the playoffs if James Harden doesn't show up and stop going to the club instead of reporting to camp. I mean, it's a wild situation for the Rockets right now, and I can't think of the last time that this James Harden is currently at the Bellagio putting $20 down at a time on the blackjack table. And he is up a little bit, but he's hoping to go back to the club later.
And he is currently COVID indeterminate.
he and COVID are best friends. I think he probably thinks that because he got COVID before he came back to the bubble, that he's not going to get it again. Didn't he and Westbrook both get COVID before they got to the bubble?
I don't remember that. Maybe they did. But I know that 48 or so like NBA players are tested positive. Like the test that came, they did a group initial screening of people coming back to the season. Let me just look at exactly how many it was. But it was like, okay, yeah, 48 out of 546 tests.
That's not a good percentage. No, that's a terrible percentage for one.
I will just reiterate that, yes, I believe that all these guys are probably healthy enough to have a very good chance, and they're young enough to have a very good chance of surviving COVID. However, they are athletes that their money rides on them being at a top performance level. And if any of them, there's 48 cases. If any of them have any like respiratory, you know, ailments from this virus, it's going to hurt their ability to make money.
Yeah. And, you know, the bubble had no cases once people were in it. And now,
no more bubble.
No more bubble.
Not to mention that, I mean, like, I don't put tons of stock into like the NBA or role models or whatever, but I mean, what message does it send to people when, I mean, particularly like people of color who are adversely affected by COVID, who have, you know, higher positivity rates and worse outcomes for the cases? If James Harden is just like at the club doing whatever he wants, like, doesn't seem to help the situation. And I say that from two podcasters that are now in like a full lockdown again in Los Angeles.
Yes. Very excited to be fully locked down. You know, I mean, I was hoping to join James in the club for my birthday on Wednesday, but I have decided to consult with my family, and we're going to release a statement saying that we think everybody should stay home, and we're going to jet off to Mexico instead.
Mexico, good choice. Now, it is sort of impressive how much James Harden just does not care what people think of him.
It is wild. I mean, the dude doesn't give a fuck, and it's pretty funny.
Because he definitely doesn't really care about what people think of his basketball and his style. Yeah,
doesn't care.
And doesn't care about his COVID style either.
Doesn't care.
So where do you think James Harden plays this season?
I don't know. I would say probably at the Mandalay Bay Casino and Resort.
I mean, do you think he'll get a suspension of any kind, first of all?
Well, you know, I don't know if he'll get a suspension. I don't think it really matters to me whether or not he gets a suspension. I would say I think James Harden is going to stay a Rocket this year.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's my thought. I don't think anything's going to happen. I think he's going to come back. I think he might also just be like, you know, he didn't have an offseason. You know, nobody had an offseason, really.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I guess when I say nobody, I mean nobody who made the bubble. So, right. You know, there is something to be expected about him just not wanting to come back yet. Him actually wanting to put pressure on them to trade him to Brooklyn, you know, like he does want that. It seems like that's what he wants. So I think that it's a combination of all these things. And I think that this front office is going to say, no, we got to get the right value for him. And the right value for him isn't going to come until the off season. I don't think that they are happy with that Brooklyn package of Dinwiddie, LeVert, and Allen. You know, so in my mind, I think he stays. What about you?
I would guess that he stays just because, like you said, it doesn't seem like there's a deal that if I was whatever his name is, Spencer Fertitta or whatever.
Tillman Fertitta.
Spencer Tillman Fertitta. That's why.
Yes.
Whoever Spencer Tillman is.
I don't know who Spencer Tillman is.
I think he's a Houston football player.
Oh, wow. My cat's name is Spencer.
Oh.
And we were talking Spencer Dinwiddie.
I think Spencer Tillman was a Houston football player and also broadcaster. That's my guess.
Wow. For the Houston Oilers. He absolutely was.
Let me save that. Let's just put a little parenthesis around that because that's a good transition to our next topic. But I think that since Fertitta is kind of a dick and kind of a penny pincher,
yeah,
that if he wants to, like, it would live up to his idea, the personality that he's put forth for him to kind of not give Harden away for nothing, really. To really try to grind and get a good deal, which I think actually they should do. I just think that it's going to be a miserable year of basketball with Harden and Wall on the same team. I don't look forward to that, seeing that basketball.
You know, I think they're a better fit than Harden and Westbrook were. And if John Wall can be good again, I'm excited to see how that plays out because I think seeing both of them be ball dominant when they're the only one on the court, and then seeing how they work together, I'm interested to see how it works, especially now that they have a couple of big guys who are good. Like, I think that they're going to back away from the ridiculous basketball they were playing before and try to play something a little different. So we'll see how that goes.
Like, again, that felt driven by Maury and D'Antoni.
Yeah.
And neither of those guys are there. And it requires I don't know, I guess in some bizarre way, what I've been wishing for is for the Rockets to just like really full on believe in their insane idea. And that's why I kept picking them to win a ring. But like the combination of Fertitta, Silas, and whoever their GM is now, is they're just not buying into like an extremely non-traditional basketball model is a thing that like you kind of have to have the track records of D'Antoni and Maury to really like go all in with. I agree with you that Wall, if anything, Wall is just a sort of more normal basketball player than Westbrook. So, and it would be hard to imagine anyone being more stubborn about his play style than Westbrook. So, And I would assume, yeah, as a human being, that John Wall, who hasn't played basketball in 2 years, will be a little more humble about how he fits into a team. Then honestly, if you averaged a triple double 3 years in a row, you might just be like, I think I know how to play basketball.
I think so too.
Let me use a segue. The Houston Oilers had a particular color scheme for their jerseys.
That they certainly did.
You know what? This was the other reason why I was thinking of, like, well, maybe I'll root for the Houston Rockets this year. Because of the Houston H-Town City Edition jerseys that had just been released. And yeah, I really like those jerseys.
I want to go through these jerseys one by one.
Okay, yeah, let's go through them one by one. What source are you using to look at all of them, by the way, so I can be on the same page?
I just emailed it to you. I'm looking at just the fronts of them. Gotcha. And I got a picture with all 30 in a row, and I want to kind of go through them and talk about.
Let me bring this up. We'll talk about H-Town when we get to H-Town then. Okay, I got the picture.
Exactly. This is going to be Jersey Talk. So anybody who doesn't want Jersey Talk, get the F out of here. This is perfect.
How many years has the City Edition been a thing?
I think since Nike came in, before they had, you know, other editions, but they weren't called Association and Icon and City and Classic. Those are the four uniforms that Nike does every year.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. We're starting with Atlanta.
Oh, you know what? And I'll post this link in the episode notes if people want to follow along.
Great.
Atlanta.
Okay. So for those of you who are following along at home, Atlanta has a black jersey with gold trim around the neck and the arms and around the letters, which are white. And on the front, it says MLK. I like this jersey. I think this jersey is hot. I mean, black and gold are going to get me forever. I just I bought a black and gold Kyle Lowry jersey from the Raptors. It's just I love black and gold. A wonderful color combo for me. So into this jersey, into the MLK on the front. They put, I think, Peachtree on last year's City Edition. Big fan of that as well. So I think that Atlanta has uniformly had just shit jerseys. Just their regular jerseys suck so fucking hard. Their City Editions have been a bright spot in their lineup.
I like this one. I don't love it, but I like the sentiment behind it. But black and gold, not as big a high point. Whatever the opposite of a trigger, it's not that. But I like it.
Okay.
Let's go to Brooklyn, the Brooklyn Nets.
The Brooklyn Nets.
How would I describe this? I read that this was a tribute to Jean-Michel Basquiat. There's some like paint on the side of it, and it's got kind of a scrawled chalkboardy BKLYN Nets, and then the number on the front.
Yes.
Casey, yes. I think that this jersey is horrible.
I am not a fan of this jersey. I think it looks like a children's jersey. I don't like it. Yikes to the Brooklyn Nets City Edition. Not a fan. Is it the worst one? No, but it's definitely
down there. But quarter. I don't know if it's the worst, but it's definitely bottom. Next is the Boston Celtics.
Boston Celtics, as everyone knows, they have the same exact number of titles in the NBA as the Los Angeles and Minneapolis Lakers. In their rafters, they have Boston Celtics and the year and the championship. And they took those rafters, like the banners, and they put them on their jersey. So it just says Boston Celtics. So in case you forgot what city you were in and what team you were watching, what sport you were playing, who not to be racist against for 2 hours. You can look on the court and say, oh, yes, these are the Boston Celtics. So they're fine. Who gives a fuck?
I think this is so boring. I don't imagine. How much time did it take to design this jersey? 5 minutes. Terrible.
Yeah. Get out of here.
I would say in some way more offensive to me than some of these other ones that they tried and failed. This is just like terrible.
Okay, good. I don't think it's the worst. I don't care, and it's boring. These jerseys, they should take big swings. They should be weird, or they should be iconic.
How many times do they get worn in a season?
Like 10-ish, 10 to 12.
It's very low impact in terms of try something. Just try anything.
I would much rather have a big swing than a safe miss. So, yes, which is where we come to our next one. The City Edition jersey for Charlotte.
This says Buzz City across the front. And yes, here's the thing. The color of this jersey is one of my most recent favorite colors.
Oh, you're a mint guy.
Mint green and like minty green slash blue is like my latest of the last 2 years or so favorite color. I still don't like this jersey.
You know, it's a swing though. I think that that's where I can commend this jersey. I do like this jersey. It's like borderline like don't care. It's like right in the middle for me. Because you know, I'm not a huge fan of that teal mint color. Not my kind of green. I prefer my greens to be a more forest green, if you're being honest with you. And the one color that is not represented on any of these jerseys except for the goddamn Boston Celtics is like a forest green. So,
That's true.
A little upsetting, but I'm okay with that.
By the way, spoiler alert, I don't like most of these. let's move on to the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, I mean,
how would you describe this?
Is that like Chicago the musical? Is that what it looks like? Chicago?
Yeah, it almost looks like the logo of like the Cotton Club or something. Like, I don't know. It's by the way, I'm open to hearing all of the stories that inspire these jerseys, but on some level, like this just looks kind of like a lame. Like it's cool if that font is connected to some like, you know, early basketball club in Chicago or something or whatever, but it still doesn't look great to me. And actually the colors don't look quite right to me. The colors look more like a Cleveland Cavaliers jersey than a Chicago.
Yeah. Cause of the gold and the red, it's strange. Apparently it's the architecture, the one thing that I will point out that is cool. Do you see the side of that Chicago jersey? What so you know that building in Chicago, that pretty famous one with the strange architecture? There's like a building and I don't know what it's called.
Is this a tribute to that building?
Yes, it absolutely is. But it's got that like diamonds style look to it. And so I don't know exactly which one it is, but there is a building in Chicago that's like, oh, this is weird. And that's what it looks like to me.
Speaking of weird, the Cleveland Cavaliers. So on the tweet link that you sent to me, someone has responded with an explanation of this logo. I don't know if you saw that.
I have seen it.
And that is interesting.
Yeah, it just doesn't work. And who cares about rock and roll in the context of basketball?
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Actually, that is actually a very good point, because it's like, you know, could a hip hop inspired version of this be successful? Maybe. But rock and roll's connection to the sport as opposed to the city is not a strong one.
I agree with you.
I don't know how to describe this. People have described this as like looking like a ransom note. But to me, it kind of looks more like the store at the mall that's trying to be hip.
like an edgy Sam Goody.
Yes. And also to your point, I don't think any of the players are going to know who any of these logos are, you know, or give a shit about, you know, the fact that like the L from this is from Led Zeppelin. Or the A, you know, how many NBA players that play for Cleveland are going to be like, oh, I love Nirvana. So I'm glad that the A in this logo is represented by Nirvana, as opposed to like the kick-ass Prince ones from Minnesota a couple years ago.
Yeah. And like at least people know Prince. I don't know. I know Nirvana, but I grew up with K-Rock. It's my life.
I still got to look into getting one of those. So if I find one of those Prince ones. I think that we've gone over this before, but one of my issues, I just don't have that many opportunities to wear a jersey.
Yeah, that's fair.
Next, we got Dallas.
Dallas Mavericks.
Do you like
this every one? Every year the Dallas Mavericks do something.
Yeah.
And, well, this is, I guess, the first year they didn't do anything. Who, like, this is so boring.
Yeah.
Is gold, like, a thing in Dallas? Was there, like, a big Dallas gold thing? I don't know.
Is the side of this thing supposed to look slimming or something?
I don't, you know, I really don't know.
It looks like a jersey that has built-in Spanx. So, you know what? Every year, the you know, actually, sort of generally in the NBA, there are just some organizations that have it better, that have it. They just do better at all these aspects than other ones, right? And pretty much every year, Denver puts out something fucking amazing, and it's like,
yeah,
I would. This is the kind of thing that would make me order for your team because I think their jersey this year is great.
I am with you. I like this jersey. I don't normally like red. Red's not a color that I am a big fan of.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, tell you what, I love this. I love the red. I love the hue. Big fan.
They
apparently the Mavs one was that they have, this is their 40 year anniversary in the league. So it's gold. Congrats. Great. Gold is now your 40-year anniversary.
Denver does a lot of good things with gradients in their work. Mm-hmm. And also, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's the like that retro rainbowy look, like just Denver has a lot of merch that like looks really good. Detroit, Motor City.
Oof. Detroit, no good.
I just don't care about this at all. Well, one thing that I find odd about this is, you know, a lot of times jerseys have lettering that's sort of meant to be seen like from an arena. And the lettering on this jersey is very small.
I don't know what it's supposed to be representing. It's a blue jersey with red racing stripes down the side. This to me just looks like a Pistons jersey. Like I there's nothing that seems wrong about this. It just is boring.
The next one I actually think is one of the more offensive ones in the entire collection. That is the Golden State Warriors.
I completely, completely agree with you.
So this just seems so much of like a corporate.
They're bringing back the We Believe.
But it says Oakland on it. And have they fully moved into their new stadium at this point?
Yes.
Or arena. Yeah,
they are
so
not
like,
in
they Oakland left anymore. Left Oakland. Yeah. Yeah, I hate this.
Yeah, it's really bad.
This to me, it wouldn't have mattered how good you made it look, I would have hated it.
Pass for me. Okay. We've made it to H-Town. The Oilers inspired jersey, the red, the light blue, the white, you know, all the colors of the flag of Chicago, but in Houston.
Pretty much. I love this one, but I'll tell you why I'm not going to get it. Because I love the Oilers colors, and I grew up with the Oilers. However, I don't really love the current Rockets, and I have never in my life called it H-Town or had anyone ever call it H-Town. So, because of that...
Okay, so you said that you grew up with the Oilers. Would you say that... they were maybe Oilers constant in your life?
Oh, my goodness. well, no, they weren't because then they left and became the Titans.
Yeah, they did. So. Yeah, they did. Yeah. Okay. Good point.
Yeah. Like even if this said like Earl Campbell on it instead or something, I might have been more likely to get it. but I do like it. I don't mind it. You know what? If let's say they trade Harden for some players that I love, maybe I'll pick this up.
Okay, great.
Next we got the Indiana Pacers, and it's like I always thought of the Indiana Pacers as a black, white, and yellow team, and this is blue.
I love this jersey. I love this jersey. I love the pinstripes with the white on the underarm. I love the yellow and the blue together. Yellow and blue together, one of my favorite combos. I think this just pops. I think this pops in a way that people will see on the court and go like, oh shit, I love this. Yeah, I'm into it. I'm into Indiana.
Take us into our next one and describe this one.
Okay. All right. Now imagine that you like live in Los Angeles and you're like, oh man, I hate how glitz and glamour everything is. And I hate thinking about, you know, what the world is like when I need to put on my 3D glasses to go see a movie at the porno store. And so I'm a very gritty, weird person. So I have 3D glasses that I put in my armpits and I go to watch a seedy movie at a pornographic theater. I'm the Clippers.
This is like their GTA San Andreas font, isn't it? Or something like it. This is very whatever to me. I feel like I've seen this before, too.
This is the same as last season, except this season they have red and blue on the piping on the arms. Ugh. Yeah, it's gross. I don't like it.
Fail. Now, I love this Lakers one. Although I think I've heard you say before, you don't love the entire light blue realm of the Lakers, but I do like this one. Although I will say it's not particularly imaginative.
Yeah, no, I don't particularly get it. You know, maybe I'm just missing something. Like, you know, the Lakers, have a big history with this particular white, like, I don't know. I'm not into it this year.
I will say that I went to the NBA, website and saw a Lakers, like sort of, I don't know what you call it. Like a, it's almost like a members only kind of style jacket, you know, with like fabric cuffs and stuff like that. And that has this color on it. And on the back is a black and white image of the skyline. And that was very tempting for me to get. That was also $180, so I'm not going to be getting that. Next we have the Memphis Grizzlies. And this is, I don't really know what to make of this one. It's a black jersey with gold on the front. So Casey should like it because it's black and gold. But it's also teal. It seems like a color of greenish blue that you don't like.
Not usually a huge fan, but there's a reason for this this to look like that. They are, this is a Stax Record jersey.
Okay.
This is Isaac Hayes. This is Shaft incarnate. This is Ja Morant throwing up a Wakanda Forever in front of his jersey. I love this. It's okay. Very cool.
Gotcha. It's got the Stax. I just looked at the Stax logo, and it's got that font for Memphis. Cool.
Yes.
This next one might be my favorite.
I just love the teal and the pink together. Miami.
They've been kind of killing it with a lot of their Miami Vice inspired things.
Well, I mean, they did one year where it was black Vice, one year where it was pink Vice, one year where it was blue Vice, and now it's all of them together. Like the third beat callbacks are crazy here. This is textbook Herald as a jersey reveal. I'm into it.
So it's Miami. It's right side is pink, left side is light blue, tealish. There's a gradient across the middle of it. This, again, I might get this, even though I don't love this team.
Yeah, but this go is for a great
jersey. This might be my favorite jersey.
Get a Bam Adebayo jersey. I love it. I'm into it.
I mean, I might get a Duncan Robinson. Let's see.
Yeah, I mean, waste your money. Who cares?
Now, the next one... the context of this next one is like, I kind of like it. Like, I like the way it looks. I don't really know what it has to do with the team, but it looks like the kind of jersey that like you, that a FIBA team would have or something. I like the way it looks, but it doesn't spark any particular emotion with me aesthetically or intellectually.
Yeah. I've never been to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So I don't know this, but apparently this is one of the names for Milwaukee is the gathering place by the water. And so this is to this is paying homage to that with shades of blue, and the shorts have the same blue that's at the bottom of the jersey, and then at the very bottom of the shorts is an even darker blue. So it's another like adjusted gradient. I'm gonna say this. The jerseys with the curves in them, I've loved them so much. Like the Pacers had this jersey that had a curve in it. The Hawks have done it. The idea of the colors on the curve, very into it, very happy with it. I really like this Milwaukee jersey.
I would say that if you like the color blue, this is the one you should get.
For me, it's a tie between Indiana and Milwaukee for those. But
hey, why not get both?
Yeah.
Why not?
Love it. Let's do it.
Next, we got the Minnesota Timberwolves. And this is very whatever to me. It's hard for them to ever top the Prince-inspired ones for me. This is just what? It's a dark gray jersey with a fluorescent green highlights on the piping, and it says Min across the front. What do you think?
What in the fuck is their deal with this green? Is green like the official, like this ugly neon green, the official color of Minneapolis or Minnesota or some shit? Like, I just do not understand. Every single one of their jerseys that is strange has like these green things. Like, is that the Northern Lights? Is it like, I really don't know what their deal is with green. Why
is the owner just like an investor in a company that makes the pigments for this color?
I really truly don't know. Like, what is the deal with neon green in Minnesota? Who is this a thing? Someone please tell me. Somebody please tell me if this is like a thing that I'm missing.
This is one's weird because like they made a jersey with fluorescent green on it, a neon green that is boring looking. So this next one is like, I'm torn about this next one because in one way it's hideous, and in another way I kind of like it. This is New Orleans, right? I'm
assuming. This is the flag of the city of New Orleans as a jersey.
Yeah,
which is both a big swing because it looks nothing like a basketball jersey, and two is boring because it's just a flag. So
I didn't know this. I guess the New Orleans flag is also essentially the French flag, in a way.
Makes total sense.
They've got the fleur-de-lis on the front. Mm-hmm. I don't think this really works. I think the font for the number is very strange. I actually think the placement of the fleur-de-lis is very – is that directly from the flag maybe? Or let me look up the New Orleans flag.
I think it is.
Okay, so it kind of is. But the scale of them is wrong if you look at the New Orleans flag.
Okay.
Like, these are very tiny compared to the color bars that they are living within, if that makes sense.
Yes.
On the
New Orleans flag, though, does it have the number of like the person who's holding the flag on it?
No.
Okay. But also, they absolutely had to change it for that.
Also, what they should have done was just put the number, whatever the number was, that's how many fleur-de-lis are on the front.
That's not a bad idea. I can't wait for somebody to come as would Zion just have no fleur-de-lis on the front?
Yeah, and then the referee
is he number one or number zero?
I don't know, but the referee has to decode it, basically. And mostly this looks to me like an Australian rules football jersey or something. So I don't know. Yeah, I guess you're not going to be getting that one. Are you going to be getting the next one?
I really like the Subway. I think the Subway is pretty cool. But this Subway token jersey is not good.
Wait, it's supposed to be a Subway token?
Yeah, like the circle. And the colors, the gradient.
That doesn't look like a Subway token.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, this is bad. This is the New York Knicks we're talking about.
Yeah, it says City Never Sleeps. The gradient makes their New York Knicks.
To me, a New York Knicks jersey needs to be something that the people that live in New York and that live in, you know, all the five boroughs would think is cool to wear on the subway.
Yeah.
And I don't think you will see many of these on the side.
No, I do not. Maybe from transplants. This is also the only jersey with words that are large enough to read that don't have anything to do with the team other than the Atlanta Hawks one, where it says MLK. Right. So it has the word City Never Sleeps, which is not that's not a thing.
Yeah. It's also – yeah, it's a – it's a shortening of a common phrase about New York, but this shortened phrase actually sort of sounds different than the city that never sleeps.
Yeah.
City Never Sleeps makes it sound like city is some like kind of spiritual entity that like never.
Yeah. And like City Field is the name of the Mets stadium, but the Knicks play at Madison Square Garden. So like City Never Sleeps. This would be a great Mets jersey.
I mean, the colors are good for the Mets too.
Yeah. Right. It is very weird.
Yeah. It's weird. Bad. Especially it's disappointing when a Clippers or a Knicks jersey, when like people in Los Angeles and New York have access to some of the greatest design minds in the world. And these are the things they come up with. Next, we got the Oklahoma City Thunder. Does this refer to something?
It is just a Love's truck stop. That's the weirdest part. This is just a truck stop.
Wait, really?
Like, no, but yes, right? Like, when you... It's wild, right?
Let me look up Love's truck stop.
Love's is their what's it called? Their jersey sponsor.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what Love's is. This is just very generic and boring to me. It looks like the kind of jersey that the video game that didn't get the NBA license still wants to have a team from Oklahoma, and this is what that team wears. And it just says
to be Oklahoma. Fair, that's what every Oklahoma City jersey looks like. Every single time.
That's true. Do you like the color orange?
I do not like these Orlando Magic jerseys.
I don't like that it says Oral.
Well, it doesn't say Oral. It says Oral Star.
That's true. So it's really a reference to Paul Wall.
Paul Wall, he's an oral star. He'll make your teeth go far. Is this like that you get oranges in citrus? Is it like a citrus thing?
Probably.
I hate it.
Not a good use of pinstripes, I will say.
No, God, orange pinstripes, they look so bad. They're really – I hope these look better in person because they look like fucking nightmares.
Okay, now we got the Philadelphia 76ers. I can't quite see what this little design is across the midsection.
Apparently.
You know what this is?
They're houses.
Oh, because Philadelphia is the city that has houses.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Boathouse Row is the houses. They're from Boathouse Row.
Okay.
So apparently there's a river underneath it, and you can see the reflection of the houses on the water.
Oh. This one's okay, I guess. I don't mind the color scheme. I actually like the drawing. I don't like the placement of the name and the number.
Name and the number are reversed for me. I don't like it. Big pass on this one.
Yeah. Speaking of gradients and sunsets, speaking of a shirt that looks a lot like the Denver one, but I like it as well. The Phoenix Suns.
The Valley. So they've got people in Phoenix apparently refer to themselves as the Valley. So like the Valley of the Sun. That does look like the mountain that you can see when you're in Phoenix, that's north of you. Shit, man. I don't know. It looks fine to me.
I like this one.
Is off.
I like this one. I like. It reminds me of Atari video games.
I see. I can see that.
And by the way, irrelevant recommendation. We started watching *Halt and Catch Fire*.
Oh, and, big fan.
I highly recommend that show. Have you watched this, Casey?
No, I have not watched *Halt and Catch Fire*.
You should watch it, especially if you like or know anything about 80s and 90s computers.
Interesting.
It's like,
yep. Yeah. We're doing
next. We got the Portland Trailblazers.
The Portland Trailblazers, the Oregon guys. It's like they tried to do the same thing that everybody else was doing and then just did it way worse.
Yeah. Don't love this one.
They are supposed to be honoring tribal nations with this jersey, and I don't know how it does that.
God, I wish that if that's what they're really trying to do, I wish that they had gone a lot more in that direction. I think that the font for the Oregon does not, off the top of my head, make it think that it's a tribute to tribal origins.
No.
There's probably some element of that in the swooshy colors on the side. But to me, I'm like, if you want to do that, then like go to these tribes and like get their fucking best graphic designer, cultural historian from that tribe that you want to pay tribute to, and let them fucking design the shit out of it.
That swoop on the side is the skyline. It's the skyline, but horizontal.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I want a bigger swing at that. If you're going to go for that, bigger swing.
Yep. I'm into it.
Bigger swing.
Okay.
Sacramento Kings.
The Kings.
Yep. What's your give me your take.
I don't care. This jersey just doesn't shout anything to me. It really doesn't shout anything to me. This is just like, whatever, dude. You're the Kings. Who cares?
I think it looked fine. It looks fine. In fact, I would put this in some about a third of these to me are jerseys that, like, if I was a big fan of the team, I'd be like, oh, this is cool. Sacktown, it looks cool, right? Another third of these are so bad that even like the Knicks one, like, or the Net, it's a shame that the two New York teams have terrible ones. But like, if you're a big Brooklyn Nets fan, even if you are, you're not going to get that one. And then there's the top third are the ones that are like, I want to become a fan of this team because this jersey is so cool.
Yeah.
And I would actually put the next one in that same category. I texted my friend Zeke Nicholson, who'd been trying to get on to talk about the Spurs, and he was very enthusiastic about the San Antonio Spurs jersey.
Yeah, it's good. It is a very, very good jersey. I like the way it looks. I like that it is both simple and festive. I'm into it. I'm very into it.
They've also committed to this sort of three-color brand over the years in a way that, like, it actually is iconic of the San Antonio Spurs, and it's not a set of three colors that really reminds you or appears in much else. It is kind of like, and that's kind of rare in branding, that like you could show me these three colors and it would make me think of the San Antonio Spurs.
Well,
it's like, pretty strong.
Apparently it's the color of Fiesta. Yeah. Yeah, it's the color of San, like those are San Antonio colors, the ES and the T in Fiesta.
You gotta love this next one, Casey.
I do. Toronto, the black and the gold. Here's the thing that's interesting about these ones that you can't see in what we've got going on here. The shorts have a raptor scratch on just the right side. That's a little weird. Don't like it so much, but I still do like this jersey, and I don't buy any shorts from the NBA, so I don't have to think about it. So one day I'll have this Toronto jersey and I'll be very happy about it.
So wait, is this not the Kyle Lowry one that you purchased?
No, I purchased an older Adidas Kyle Lowry black and gold one.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that they had done a lot of black and gold for the Raptors.
Tons. Before. Tons. That's like their second color scheme now.
I like this Utah Jazz one. I think all of their work in this area that they've, this sunset-y kind of thing, I like it. It's sort of living in the same realm. I mean, it's kind of funny that Denver, Utah, and Phoenix, who are sort of all in the same part of the country that have nice sunsets, are sort of all going the same direction this year. But I like this one.
In fact, those are our three teams that are in the Four Corners states. So thematically makes total sense.
Not super exciting because it's sort of a variation of something they've done recently, right? Like they have a white based one that they wear kind of.
And I like they were thinking about doing a purple gradient one that looked really good, but they didn't end up doing that.
Oh, okay. All right. Give me your verdict on this very last one.
I mean, I want to like it. I want to like it because it could be so cool, but the gray kills it for me. Not into that.
The gray is a choice. It's the kind of thing where the gray almost hurts the red, white, and blue of everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, are they trying to go that everybody's tall and it kind of looks like the Washington Monument because nobody's cleaned it in a while? Like, I really don't get it. Gray doesn't feel like a Wizards color to me, and I don't know why they did this.
Yeah. I agree with that. Okay, Casey, give me your top three from this whole list.
My top three. Okay, so we got number one, I like Indiana the best.
Okay.
Number two, I like Miami, second best. And number three is going to be Milwaukee for me.
Ooh, I'm going to go number one, Miami.
Uh-huh.
Number two, Houston.
Okay.
And for number three, I think I'm going to go the Valley.
Ah, very cool.
Three teams I do not like that much. Oh, well.
Well.
So wait, we got preseason coming up.
Preseason's coming up. We got to get our year-long predictions on what's going to happen and who's going to end up where in the standings. And, yeah, then the season gets to start. Season starts in literally 15 days.
Now, I think we discussed this previously, but are they're selling tickets to these games?
Some teams are. Not going to happen in California.
Yeah, I was going to say, California, is it just going to be an empty Staples and a team playing in it?
Yes.
Okay. I'm okay with that. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah. If it's got to be something, that's what it's got
to
be.
If it has to be something. You know, I guess here's a very low bar for what I would like the NBA season to be. Is I would like it to be not as big a crap show as the NFL.
Okay.
How about that?
Yeah, and like baseball seemed like it did okay.
Yeah,
maybe be a little better than baseball.
Yeah, I mean, baseball, which is very much a sport that has social distancing built into it, except for the dugout, yeah. And then had a COVID positive person in the championship celebration be a little better than that.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. But.
Okay. Hopefully by the next time we speak, we will know James Harden's NBA fate for this next season.
Dun, might not. Dun. Well, yeah, who knows?
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Catch you guys later.
See you. Bye.